Tel Anderson is a botanist and plant ecologist. She joins us periodically to talk about phenology or what's going on in our woods and waters right now. Welcome, Tel.
Hello.
Tell us about life under the winter ice.
Okay. Here we are. We're in late February. I love February.
I do too.
Best month of winter. And even though we're experiencing this, feels like a bounty of light, right? As the days get longer and the intensity of the sun is getting greater,
warmer and brighter.
Yeah, you can feel that warmth when you stand in the sun. That's what our experience is. But if you're something that lives under the ice and snow of our inland lakes and ponds and streams even this year, because, boy, things are pretty locked up, not completely in the stream department, but more so than many years, then you are not experiencing the same thing. It's cold and it's dark, although some scattered blue light will penetrate the snow once, you know, as the snow gets deeper and deeper, less and less of that is going in. When I was down getting water the other day in the river, I measured the temperature, and the temperature of the water was just above freezing. So it's cold, but life is happening. So I lift off the cover, and what's the first thing I see? A giant water bug. So cool. Hard to miss because, you know, they're 3 inches long.
Oh, and, my gosh.
You know, big sprawling legs. And, of course, it's moving. It seems like it's not moving. It's moving so slowly under the circumstances. But also there were caddisfly larvae that were definitely messing around in there. Other years I've seen predaceous diving beetles, dragonfly larvae. So there's things happening despite the cold and the dark. And of course, people out fishing, ice fishing, and being successful, they know that there's definitely fish life that's active under there. And there's some great descriptions I've read of people. I've never done it, but it'd be really cool to dive under the ice and, you know, with a light and be able to go along and see. And they describe how a school of fish, maybe say sunfish or something, you know, something that's not tiny, but you know, not necessarily great big fish, but something that you'd be more likely to capture in a light underwater because it's a group, but that they're just like leaves suspended in the water because they're all slowed down. And so move your hand through them and they just kind of, you know, they don't really swim away. They just kind of, by virtue of the water moving, they part.
So are they in kind of a torpor or what?
Yeah, their metabolism is really low. And as oxygen levels get lower, fish have to find where the oxygen still is. But, you know, they are lowering their use as much as possible. And the water's cold. So they're just not active. And so there's definitely life going on. And one of the most, I think, interesting adaptations to this cold and dark is environment of the under the ice is in a something that has a common name of water flea. It has nothing to do with fleas. The name of the genus is Daphnia, so I usually talk about them as Daphnia. These are planktonic crustaceans, so tiny, about the size of an apostrophe on your keyboard.
Wow.
They're not microscopic. They would be macro, but they're tiny. And if you look at them with a little bit of help, you know, you don't need a big magnifying, but you need a little bit of help. You could see that they have these branched arms that they extend over their heads and they flail them around as they float around in the water column. They flail these legs, these branched legs around, arms around. And that makes them spin in a backward circle. And that spinning motion brings water through their cells, and they filter out oxygen and plankton, algae. That's what they eat, is algae. So they're filtering water through their cells by flailing their arms and going around backwards in a circle. So they're really active, you know, busy as they float around, kind of adrift. They're moving, but in just this little sphere of space. Otherwise, they're just being buffeted around by whatever is moving the water. So that's how they live their lives. But they have this really elegant adaptation to how variable oxygen levels are in the water column. So most people, I'm sure, have heard that fish have to find that magic spot where there's oxygen, especially if they're a fish that needs a certain water temperature to be really comfortable or whatever. And for some fish, that's more of an issue in the summer, like trout, cold water fish, because as the water heats up, they need to find the colder water, but that has to have some oxygen in it, so they can't go to the deepest water necessarily. So finding enough oxygen, whether it's in the summer or in the winter, can be tricky. In the case of Daphnia, they have evolved this amazing adaptation to respond to oxygen levels, dissolved oxygen levels, by either needing and therefore creating hemoglobin or not. So if you look at them in the summer, so let's say we went out in June and we got a scoop of water and we got out our hand lens and we looked at the Daphnia, they'd just be clear as could be. You'd see right through them. You could see their little branched flailing arms and things, but you could look right through them. Now, flash forward to now, late February. Everything's been under the ice and snow now for a couple months at least, if not more, depending upon the body of water. Mm. And oxygen is being depleted all that time because there isn't much of anything coming in. It's pretty static in terms of inputs, but everything's living is using some oxygen. So that amount is shrinking, gets to be less and less. Well, as that happens, the Daphnia start building hemoglobin. Hemoglobin turns out to be the life's most efficient way of moving oxygen from a source to where it's needed. So they make some hemoglobin to help them be most efficient at using what oxygen is available. And as they make hemoglobin, they start to turn color.
Red.
Yeah. They go from clear to pink to red when things get really tough. So here in this little thing is this magic that's going on related to hemoglobin, the very thing that makes us red when we mm-hmm. bleed. So they have, as a tiny thing, without anybody's help, managed to adapt to the highly variable conditions that they might find themselves in their aquatic environment when it comes to dissolved oxygen. So out there, despite the dark and the cold and all, there's a really significant pulse of life that's still going on in that dark and cold environment that when you go trudging across the lake or skiing across the lake or whatever, they're all under there.
Doing their thing.
Doing their thing.
Oh. Yeah. Jill Anderson regularly fills us in on current events in the woods and waters. Thanks for talking to us about ice and the life beneath it.
You're welcome.